Chapter 26 Broken Brothers. Battle Barge Charybdis forges. The metal bent and buckled, yielding to the blow. Gargo struck again, harder, and the chime of his hammer rang discordantly through the heady air. The muscles in one shoulder burned, and beneath his armor his skin ran with sweat, but he would not relent. With a grunt, he struck a third time and split the greave apart. It needed re-welding and pinning before it could see service again. Several other pieces, gorgets, vambraces, a dented cuirass, even a helm split across the join, lay on three metal workbenches in the Charybdis's forges. Found below decks, near to the engineerium, the forges were immense, but almost empty. With only 66 legionaries aboard the ship, Gargo had chosen one of the smaller forges, equal to his needs. It was brazier lit, the air thick with heat and dark with smoke. Soot clung to the walls, crawling up the internal buttresses. An anvil dominated the middle of the chamber, and it was here that Gargo toiled in isolation. He had tasked himself with repairing the broken armor pieces from the mission to Rampart. Without imminent resupply or the possibility of reinforcement, the Salamanders could not afford to be profligate. Everything would be used and reused until it was broken beyond recall. Gargo had reworked several pieces already, and they glistened fresh from dousing, exuding a quivering aura of heat. Every artistic flourish had been restored, and the Black Smiter's craft was almost without peer in the Legion, with the exception of Master Tekel. Yet still he frowned whenever he looked at them. He glanced at the arm holding the tongs that snared the metal pieces in place. At one time, it had been his preferred hand to hammer with. Now, it could only clamp metal in place. He raised the fuller again, about to strike out a dent, when a voice from the darkness stopped him. "What will become of us, blacksmith?" Gargo turned to Zathen, who had been watching silently. A pall of smoke gusted from the corner of his mouth, inhaled from his raga pipe. "How long have you been sitting there?" "A while. What else is there to do while we sail the stars but wait?" Gargo carefully set the fuller down. It clanked dully against the surface of the anvil. He left the greave he had been reforging, dissatisfied with his efforts anyway.
"Is that Vorkos?" Zathen asked.
"Yes."
He nodded, impressed.
"Didn't think you would be able to fix it after a Volkite."
"It isn't fixed yet."
"Hmm. You need something, Zathen?"
"An answer to my question. I don't know what will become of us, but with Vulcan we can be Legion again. I've seen his body in that cargo bay Numion is using for a shrine, if that's what you mean. You don't believe Vulcan will rise again? Isn't it somehow twisted to believe the dead can rise from the grave? Nothing that dies can ever come back the same. During the ancient days of Nocturne, it was believed possible. Devotees of the Promethean Creed would daub their faces in white ash as part of a ritual to bring about resurrection.
Did our chaplain tell you that?
Zathen already knew that he had.
Varkir knew much about the history of Nocturne, its customs and ceremonies, how they fitted into a secular galaxy governed by the imperial truth was a question no one had yet thought to ask, but it lingered, waiting nevertheless.
He spoke the creed. I listened. It only affirmed to me that Vulcan yet lives.
Vulcan had tempered the creed, and with his craft as a father and a blacksmiter, moulded his legion into a better version of itself. From a spiral of self-immolation, he had given them not only the means to survive, but to flourish. It wasn't in his deeds, but his wisdom.
Zathen believed in the creed too, but his focus tended towards the volatile and the incendiary, the supremacy of fire. Temperance and pragmatism were neglected concepts in his character.
Alive, dead, Zathen shrugged. I just want to kill traitors, brother. I breathe vengeance. My sustenance is retribution. I just want them to burn.
And what about a higher cause?
There is nothing else, nothing higher than that for me.
Then why come here at all?
I was bored.
Zathen got to his feet, done with self-flagellation for now. He doused the raga pipe, blowing out a last plume of clinker-like smoke.
We have never seen eye to eye, but we are brothers, Gargo told him. This fatalism is destructive.
Zathen drew one of his blades and showed it to the light.
Do you recognize this?
Of course.
You forged it.
I forged many of the pyre's weapons, said Gargo.
Zathen shook his head as he examined the stunning blade.
No, he said. This was before Makrag, before we became bodies for the pyre.
Unsure where this was going, Gargo let him speak.
The armor you forged for Numeon was a thing of beauty. Any master artisan would be justly proud. Not you, though, Gargo.
He smiled sadly.
This,
he lifted the blade and turned it around in his grip before sheathing it,
and that armor, as night and day, brother.
Zathen's melancholy turned to anger.
Don't tell me you don't want blood for that, for everything you've lost.
Gargo looked at the armor pieces he had reworked, at the fine engraving and every ounce of craft he had invested in them.
Yes, I want blood for that,
he said, as he threw it all back into the forge fire, determined to begin again.